Calling to order the April meeting of the EDA. It is April 6th on Monday. Time is 6:36. Begin with roll call from the EDA. Matt Dinges here.
Tommy Boston.
Bob Vessel.
Dave DeFusco.
Tom Wagner.
Barry Dickstein.
Jennifer Diedrich.
And Neil Page from town staff is also here. And from the public we have?
Barbara Shorey. Lisa Coggan.
Great. And let's start with public comments.
Lisa Coggan, CNR Drive. I just want to welcome all the new EDA members. I listen to meetings all the time, and Matt knows that already. And I just wanted to give, your last meeting I thought was really interesting, so I just want to give a little bit of feedback on it. One of your topics is community outreach. I think that since you have a staffed meeting, you might want to consider having a hybrid meeting in a room that has the OWL access so that you can reach more of the public on a regular basis. People can then call in, they can show up and they can see who you are, and they might engage with you in the community if they had some visuals. That's one suggestion. You have form-based code on your agenda. I'm not sure if it's still on here tonight. It is. So I just wanted to say I personally am not in favor of expanding residential into the business district, and here's why. It's a very urbanized environment. There's a lot of light pollution, noise pollution, and not a lot of green space. And I think that the main character energy of Canton, I should reveal I'm also on the Conservation Commission. The main character energy of Canton is open space, and I think people expect the business district to be for businesses and commercial, and that living there isn't going to be a positive experience for a lot of people, so I don't agree. Also, in April of 2023, Rich Correa did come and give some commentary about affordable housing and the importance of it. I highly suggest that you re-listen to that meeting because he actually did not agree with the philosophy of heads and beds. He gave a philosophy of the importance of affordable housing, so I just wanted to comment on that. I was wondering if anyone here is a member of the Canton Avon Chamber of Commerce. Is anyone here actually a member? Okay.
No.
I thought that that would be important if you were going to institute some ideas. For example, I mentioned previously years ago about a restaurant week. You noted, Bob, at your last meeting how many, the diversity of restaurants we have now. And I think in the winter time when they're struggling, that's usually when restaurant weeks happen. And if you, if anybody's interested in that low-hanging fruit idea, I'm happy to help on the side in a subcommittee with that. And that is my forte in a previous lifetime, was hospitality. And you talked about the kiosk in Collinsville. Tim Bowman has the key. He is the one who runs that. So if there's something that you need to information you need to put in there, he's the guy. I'm off in Bike Walk Canton. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Is there one thing that we should know? We should know the policy for
Tim is actually in charge of that.
The whole thing.
He's in charge of all the kiosks. He's the kiosk guy for the whole Farmington River Trail.
Oh.
So and on that note, a lot of Eagle Scouts build them. So if you're looking to have one put somewhere in town, you might want to reach out to the Eagle Scouts because they've already committed to build one at the new Bike Skills Park.
Okay. So we must talk to Tim.
Tim, if you want to get some information inside there. Yep, I just wanted to let you know that.
Kiosk czar.
He is the kiosk czar.
If we have the Boy Scouts do it, we can have them change the lock so that Tim can't get it.
No, you can get your own from the Boy Scouts.
Thrifty. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think you all here are very passionate. I'm hearing a lot of really positive energy coming, and I really appreciate it. But the last thing I wanted to comment about was you were discussing businesses, and that it was really hard to delineate who was a cottage business and home-based business. And I was wondering if maybe that's a recommendation you could make to the land use office and how people have to register, right? They have to register their business name when they have a site plan application. Shouldn't it have their business identification number? Shouldn't they have, like, their certificate from the town to say they're a registered business? Like, shouldn't all that information be on the application? Because we have Airbnbs in town, and we're not capturing a hotel tax, I learned today, because we don't know who they are. So that's missed revenue, and as far as I'm concerned, for the grand list, if we're not collecting hotel tax on Airbnbs. So that's my feedback, and I really appreciate all the work you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Barbara?
Yes. I agree with everything that Lisa said. I have two comments. One, well, first of all, I was so happy I went to the POCD update meeting. Neil made a comment that I thought was just hit the nail on the head, and I'm going to paraphrase, so I'm glad you're here to correct me if I'm wrong, and that is that how residents look at the town of Canton depends on where they live. Mm-hmm. And that is, I've noticed that for a long, long time based on comments on Facebook. I'm just going to look at here first. The community outreach as far as businesses go. We've lost over 10 businesses in the last year. Has anyone done an exit interview to find out what those people, now that they're gone, they're more free to speak, why anyone's done that? I have, and it's surprising. It would take longer than we have time for today to discuss that, but it's something that would definitely give you more insight into what you're looking for to find out why they left, why they're leaving.
Sure.
Or why are they moving to other towns and not staying here? The other is marketing. I saw that there was, I'm sorry, which one is Dave? Dave did a great job on the way you put together as far as marketing. That is my forte. I was assistant to a marketing company, a nationwide marketing company for a lot of years, so I'd be more than happy to help you with that. I own my own retail business for 14 years. So that can get you my information if you need any help with that. So it applies no matter what town you're living in. There are certain basic premises that make a business successful or not successful. And it's sometimes easy to see why some of the businesses have left town. It's not the town's fault, it's their fault. But they don't know that. What you don't know, you can't fix. So it's important to help them too with maybe some seminars on explaining what some simple little things are they need to do to make themselves more marketable to the town.
Well, it sounds like if Dave and I both gave you cups of coffee, we would get a whole lot of information from you.
Yeah, that's. I can do that.
Okay, we'd be happy.
Coffee's good.
I think we'd be happy to do that.
That
exit interview idea is really strong, and the seminar thing, I can give you a little bit of history on that, but also it's a terrific idea. It really is. So yeah. So I've got your phone number and all that, so I'll give you a call. And we live within a 5-minute walk of each other, so easy enough.
Okay.
And the restaurant week, I like that. I've always liked that idea. So another cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I'm going to be swimming in coffee.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to our discussion items. We have quite a few. So let's start with the strategic plan that Tommy put together. Tommy, there are a couple of folks that were not here last meeting. Can you just give like a high-level overview in terms of what you did? I thought it was fantastic.
Of course. So I've got some copies. We may just have to share with folks if folks don't mind that. So basically, this is a strategic plan. Absolutely. That gives the agency just some teeth and some... I guess more structure from a perspective if we want to go to the selectmen to get more funding. It basically takes our agenda, It shows it over 5 years, and it organizes it into these sort of strategic initiatives. The first page is really about the authority and structure, the mission and purpose. A lot of this was already there, the key goals that we're already doing. And then the strategic initiatives is sort of into five categories based on kind of what I looked at previous meetings and the couple of meetings that I've been a part of already. The first is really the reporting out the state of Canton's economy. We can do that yearly based on local data. Happy to lead that up. That includes the outreach that other folks are doing. It includes monitoring and analyzing those changes in tax assessments. The second one, the supporting local business and economic development environments. It's kind of similar to, Barbara, what you mentioned, kind of a doing business in Canton guide, bringing in other community groups, regional organizations, small business associations to help lead seminars for small businesses that we could advertise on our webpage, maintain a business directory, and keep tabs on businesses that are coming and going. The third is just the awareness of other projects that are going around on town, assigning specific liaisons from the EDA to attend those meetings, meet with those stakeholders, just to have a pulse on what's going on. A public information session, I think, would be a really interesting thing, where we kind of have folks come in and present everything that's happened across the year on some important boards related to economic development, all in kind of one afternoon or one meeting. So for anybody that missed it, they're still informed. And then just coordination with other town planning efforts like the POCD to make sure that the EDA and economic development is kind of reflected in that. So starting to kind of break down some silos maybe that are going on and kind of making our way into other discussions and other agencies. Dave, four is really kind of the thing that you're taking on with the marketing and the doing business in Canton and just kind of formalizing that in the strategy. And then five is kind of that catch-all for EDA specific initiatives, the wayfinding program, the facade improvement program, and Collinsville streetscape. So just to kind of give us some teeth, it's a guiding document. It kind of holds us accountable for the next 5 years. It's a bit fluid, but it's a start and certainly editable. I went back and forth with Matt a couple times on some edits, so happy if folks have this, it's on Dropbox. To hear your thoughts and comments and look at it.
I have a couple additional comments.
Please, yeah.
If anyone has seen this for the first time, my thought would be, you know, let's get feedback between now and next meeting, and then my hope is that we can ratify and adopt this at our May meeting. So it's a living document and part of our process. But just a couple items that I know that I was thinking about. One is, you know, do we want to explicitly state what the EDA does and what we don't do? So in other words, you know, we're an advisory committee. We work with town staff and commissions in terms of advisement based on economic data, but we do not say, you know, make land use decisions. I think that's important for someone in the community looking at this document. Sometimes I think they get confused in terms of what our overall reach is. So that would be the first thing.
That's great.
Do we want to add in some sort of short vision statement that kind of outlines our view in terms of what the Canton economy should look like in 5 years? What I immediately thought of was kind of adopting some of the key takeaways from our community survey in terms of, you know, what the overall public kind of has in mind for Canton, and we can potentially adopt some of that stuff. Because I want the community survey to kind of be reflected in the work that we do. And then, do we also want to consider having a line item in our agenda? And Barbara, this kind of goes to what you were saying earlier. Do we want to have like some sort of specific business retention, expansion, and attraction mini program, where, you know, we're checking in with maybe 5 to 10 businesses a year to see what you know, what help they might need, or whether it's they're looking to expand, or you know, they're thinking about leaving, maybe potentially targeting businesses that are in neighboring towns that maybe we could try to lure here. Maybe that's part of something we can explore. But that would, and then ultimately, also the last thing, do we want to outline resource needs that we might need? And from my mind, you know, we have like all these great things that we're focused on. But with that, and this comes back to, you know, Barry's comments from a couple of meetings ago, there's, you know, there's a cost to doing some of that. Do we want to incorporate that in here?
That's great. I had a couple of comments on your comments and also on your document.
Sure.
One thing I started digging into a little bit was data. There was a goal way back, about 10 years ago, we actually had a page on the Town of Canton website from 15 to 20 was the title of it. And the idea was to go from 15% commercial to 20% commercial, change the ratio. And that was, and that came out of the POCD, and it seemed like the thing to do, and all that kind of stuff. But in the last revaluation, that number changed quite a bit, because the value of residential real estate rose much faster than commercial. And so the question, so now I'm starting to ask the question, I think I put it out to Zoe Peak, and I copied Deal and Matt on that. What are we dealing with there? You know, and what does that mean in terms of projecting the cost of town services? And I don't have the answers to that, but I think it's something fundamental. If we're talking about, you know, what is the basis for the economy of the town, and a lot of it has to do with property tax, that we should really understand what happens through the reval process, and when the values of commercial property, which we know is tax positive, you know, goes down that much. You know, I don't know, I'm not smart enough to know that, or I just don't have the information to know that, and I don't know if anybody here does. But I think we need to understand that, and we also need to then kind of back into what data do we really need. I mean, there's gazillions of data all over the place, but what data do we really need in order to say, is this engine running right? You know, because, you know, you look at your car and you say, okay, I'm going this fast, and I've got this much gas or electricity left in the tank. What do I need? Where am I going? When's my next service appointment? What the hell? You know, but all of that kind of stuff, I think, is important. The other thing is that some of what we're talking about in terms of outreach to the businesses and finding out what the business, you know, what kind of services the businesses might need, get into the area of promises that we're going to be making to some extent, and we have to be sure that we can fulfill whatever promises we're making. Like, if we're going to do an outreach service, if we're going to look, we're going to do an active recruitment effort to bring businesses in here. That's almost like a real estate agent kind of thing, and we're not real estate agents. I like the idea, and we also had years back we talked about a concierge service, which was kind of a welcoming service, which is typically a chamber thing. Good stuff. Is that what we want to commit to do? You know, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying we need to think about it. You know, we've got so many bodies, so many hours. How much of that are we going to commit unpaid, for the most part, to doing
for
that?
For the most part. What, are you getting something?
Well, yeah, you see, I got these glasses, you know, but you know, we need to look at that. Also, through the POCD process, which has now started, there's a large data collection effort in that could cover some of this stuff. The question is, you know, how far down the road does the data collection occur? Is that shareable immediately, or does it need to be digested and all that kind of stuff? So, and I think Neil can help us with that. And let's see, what else did I have? That's about it.
So one follow-up to your data question.
Yeah.
So I reached out to, I never, how do you pronounce that? C-R-C-O-G?
Croc.
It's Croc?
Croc? Yeah, Croc, yeah.
So you say
Croc.
Okay,
yeah,
there we go, that helps. Yeah. I reached out to a bunch of different state agencies asking if anyone has access to the geofencing data.
Oh, good.
Because we obviously can't afford it. And I only heard back from one so far, and it was a woman from Croc. And she was very excited to hear about this request. She wants to know if we could send them a few real use examples of what we're looking for. That's one. But I think the more important thing is they're actually, I guess they sent out an economic development needs survey a few weeks ago to better understand the needs of communities with the goal of identifying some shared services opportunities. Databases came up quite a bit. And they're planning virtual follow-up conversations at the end of the month, and she asked me if I want to participate in that. So this is an opportunity to potentially arrive at, you know, data that might be out of our reach.
Yeah, and beat guinea pigs.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
Anyone have any other feedback for Tommy?
And again, if there's anything else, my email's on the list. I'm happy to have a call separately or just take everything. If you do any track changes, if you print it out, mark it all up, scan it to me, I'm happy to do that as well.
Awesome. No, this is good stuff, Tommy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Matt, are you gonna get back to that person from Prague?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. All right, facade improvement program. Bob, you had a meeting with.
We had a meeting with Chris Edge, who is the economic development director for the town of Berlin, and it's up on the shared drive, the Dropbox. As you can see, it's a very thorough description of the plan of the program that they ran, and you know, right down to here's the application, here's what went wrong, here's what went right. It was, I mean, I don't know. Dave was there too. I mean, we were kind of blown away by the detail that he gave us. It was excellent, absolutely excellent. He got two grants, one from Steve, and the other one from DOT. For transit-oriented development. We haven't heard anything about STEEP, and
no.
I'm not sure if DOT is doing the transit-oriented development grants at this point.
I don't even think we would qualify for that.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't.
You have to be on the rail line or the busway.
Yeah, that really helps, or one that they're developing. And so far as I know, we're not there, but they may be cooking something else up, and it would be good to know. And so you can reach out to our state legislator, who seems to be right in the middle of all that kind of stuff, and we can see. So I don't know if anybody had a chance to look through that very thorough document.
I did. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have it here. Actually, I probably do. But any questions about that? Do we want to bring Chris in? I don't know. I think we got it all from him.
I noticed some potential changes we might want to make to our proposal, but after looking through the document you posted, it looks like they have a design grant up to $1,500 to help essentially architectural services. And that was not in ours, but we had talked about it. So I think, you know, we certainly want to continue to pursue that.
He found it very, very, by the way, he found it extremely valuable to have an architect on board because people cannot visualize, you know, do not visualize easily. The other thing I thought was, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, is he emphasized the value of very small grants for landscaping, little things like, you know, putting in flowers and, you know, kind of making a new sign and stuff, small stuff, but visible. He was very focused on making sure it was visible.
I saw that too, and it encourages smaller businesses to be able to participate as well.
Yeah. You know, so people could see it. There were people talking about it, saying, hey, I got this from, you know, from the town. And look what it did for my business. And that encouraged others to get involved in the program. Where, you know, you're always looking for that first mover.
Yeah.
You know.
I noticed they also, they have the option to limit the grant to 50% of the lowest bid. So we're asked for businesses to submit three bids for the work to be done, but we don't say, you know, we don't limit it. So they do that to protect against, it looks like they do it to protect against inflated project costs.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a language we should probably incorporate. They also add, when they're looking at documentation and eligibility verification, it looks like they have an insurance verification, so they validate that there's insurance, and then proof that the business actually has the matching funds, which is something that we did not consider. And then
payout at the end of, 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
So,
and then their application goes in front of their planning and zoning, it looks like, for design approval. But it's not like a formal process. It's kind of like behind the scenes, more administrative, not a full hearing.
So it could go through the land use office as opposed to the full board.
And I think that's what Kevin was getting at when we were talking to him about our proposal.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing we might want to add. And I think that was pretty much it. Another thing is they require the contractor lien waivers before the grant money is sent out to make sure that protect the town from any kind of mechanics liens, which is something we did not consider. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the experience behind what he has in this thing is absolutely excellent.
Yeah. So I'll update our program based on what I just went over. I think those are all important ads. But that was good. That was good stuff.
And he lives in Avon. He's very willing to chat with us. We know where he hangs out now.
Yeah. So still nothing on the steep grant.
Is that Berlin or Burlington?
Burlington.
I don't know.
Berlin.
That's
what I wrote down, but I want to make sure.
And he lives in Avon.
May I ask a quick question about the program? Do we have... since this is supposed to be, my understanding, for small businesses, do we have that many small business owners that actually own the building to be able to do that for? I would think most of them would rent, but
so it's mostly the other way around. So we're targeting people who own the buildings.
That's what I'm saying.
For the most part,
they would have to own it, wouldn't they? Did
you know? As long as they have land. Landlord approval, a business owner can apply to this program. But for the most part, we're targeting the actual, you know, property itself.
Well, I would think that a renter wouldn't want to put that money forward.
Right, yeah, exactly, exactly. But a mini grant for a small business owner, like to Bob's point, whether they want to maybe improve their signage or do something with landscaping, is an attractive addition to our
something
program.
That we never considered.
Do we have sign standards?
Yes.
Like design standards for signs?
Well, not really design standards, but we have a lot of regulations about signage. And then anything in council has to go to the historic district for design approval.
Yeah. Better not be electric.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, we have a section of zoning that says, the standards for them, and some of them are design related, but we don't get into the aesthetic components of it, or, you know, subjective components as much, because it's really a freedom of speech issue. Even though it's commercial free speech, it's, you know, area, height, location, lighting is the basic legalities around it.
So the next steps, as far as this program goes, is we're kind of in a holding pattern, but I still think it makes sense to get in front of the Board of Selectmen at some point, even though there might not be a grant opportunity this year, just to socialize it and really get their blessing on it. Yeah. So that when a grant does become available, it's we're...
You've got the structure in place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I will look to do that. Okay, the X Factor, any movement?
Just continuing to work. It's warmer now, and I have to see what the schedule is for the consultant doing the brownfields work. That was kind of on hold for the winter, and then it was also kind of on hold while we're trying to possibly get a change order to move some of the locations around for some of the sampling. But I got to send a note to the consultant tomorrow about establishing a work plan, because I'm not getting a response from DECD about the possible change order. I did have a meeting today with our marketing consultant that's working on the marketing plan and the fiscal impact analysis, and they're getting closer to the end of that. Again, that's going to be the component that would be utilized to justify a possible TIF arrangement, tax increment financing arrangement, so that's still underway. But other than that, you know, no additional, nothing, you know, major out of the blue or anything.
Neil, given that I'm the only family here that gets the Hartford Not Very Current and pays for it, there was a giant article in it about the renovation, reconstruction of Rockville's version of our X Factory, and I thought it was ours. It's identical. And the article went on and on and on about how the town and the developers are rushing forward with it, and they've got all this stuff going on and planning and everything else. And it looks identical to our X Factory. It's a shame this isn't in Rockville.
Well, you and I visited Rockville, didn't we?
Yeah.
10 years ago?
Yeah, we did. And I worked on some of those. I used to be the town planner in Vernon, and worked closely with Joe Ballone, who was a developer of the one. I don't know who's the developer of the one you're referring to, Barry, but some of those, one, Vernon and other municipalities get access to funding we don't get to because they're not as well financially run. They're quote-unquote distressed municipalities. They also get funding from, I forgot, the community investment funds that go to certain municipalities that don't have perhaps the affluence or the demographics we have. Also for the major one that was a major accomplishment for the town, the, you know, property owner abandoned the property, so the town is able to do certain things. One of our biggest hurdles with the X Factory has always been we've had a property owner paying his taxes, which makes it more challenging, ironically, to actually jump in and get things done. So I'm not going to rehash all that, but different contexts, different situations, different factors. And we can spend a lot of time analyzing it, but right now you have property owner that is working very hard to get all the DEP dam safety permitting, to get all the brownfields analysis done, and working on working with state funding to clean the property up. So it's going. I mean, the one of those things in Rockville, I think it was about 10 years worth of work to get to the point where they were, you know, turning things over. So you can compare all you want, but we have the X Factory, and the X Factory is unique, and we're not in the same situation as Vernon.
We're not?
No.
No. It's similar. There are similarities, for sure, but it's not the same.
I think you got to look at the motivation of the ownership. For the longest time, we didn't necessarily have a lot of motivation.
Now it seems
we do. So I think the last 2 years, there's definitely been, it looks slow on the surface, but underneath, I bet they've come in here and pound the table that they're busting their rear ends to get things done.
Yeah.
And you're finally starting to see some of that play out now.
Yeah. Yeah. The state has been the slow part right now. But yeah, the contours of that property are just so different from anything else I've seen.
It's out on a peninsula.
Almost.
You know how
yeah.
many towns have their factory out on a peninsula.
You know, I just got to say, I mean, I walked that property with Senator Dodd probably in 2005 as a potential redevelopment project, and it didn't just happen, all right? Just for context, that property, I've been in that property with as high-ranking officials as you could, and it just, now you're finally starting to see something in the newspaper about it, great. But that doesn't mean it's like, wow, I wish we were another town because they're doing it so fast. It's just not like that.
Yeah, I mean, Senator Murphy has a panoramic view of the Axe Factory on one full wall of his office in the Senate. It's the same picture that he had when he was a representative, a U.S. rep. I mean, he's been on this project for I don't know how many years that is. I mean, you're talking 15 plus. He pushed bills through when he was a rep. He's pushed bills through when he's a senator. Blumenthal has been out here. Lamont's been out here. I mean, we've walked a lot of officials through this property. I mean, Governor Rowland's wife had a stall in Collinsville Antiques. I mean, it's like, we're very visible, let's put it that way.
And they're still projecting Amabel's about 5 years away from actually getting certificate of occupancies or any units. So again, that's a half a decade from now under their own projections. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not all roses and successes and, you know, accomplishments. It takes a very, very long time in these mill properties.
Okay, moving on to the trail extension. I think last month we had a couple businesses yet to sign on to the easement language.
Yeah, we I think we're at the point now they're sending it to the, at the shops we're talking about, they're sending it to the lenders now for review, which is good, but they're still not moving fast enough for our liking. Eleni Cabros de Grawbrook reached out to me a month ago asking for status because she helped get the funding for some of the work there. We did have a meeting with the utility companies on Lawton Road for the segment in front of the Lutheran Church there. I'm sorry, the Church of Latter-day Saints, I think it is, not the Lutherans.
Yeah.
Apologies. But the that is very difficult because of the need to relocate several utility poles. So we think we got to the best case scenario for that and gave the information back to our engineer. So we're going to try to move that forward now. But still just challenges and not a lot of time and not a lot of progress, unfortunately.
Okay. Community outreach, residents, we could skip over that. Tommy, business survey, I thought was in pretty good shape.
Sure, yeah. Again, for folks who don't have a digital copy, here's a couple of paper copies. Middle of the table. Go, guys. And, of course. So, I do. Yeah.
Oh, ho, ho.
There you go.
All right.
Again, went back and forth with Matt and Bob about this just for a little bit. It models similar surveys that were sent out, I believe, with Burlington. And I can't remember the other town that did one. It's fairly simple. It's really data collection. We pulled a list, cleaned and organized and aggregated it of all the businesses that are active or merged operating in Canton. It does include home businesses. So I think that maybe we can add a question about that specifically just to kind of categorize that. This first page is really telling us about them, name of the business, where it's located, how long you've been in Canton, do you own or lease your space, are you interested or have plans to expand within the next 12 months, are they looking to, there's a lot of yes and questions, so if they answer one, another one comes up. If they're looking to leave Canton, we ask why they're leaving, where are you considering going, what is that reason that you're considering leaving, so it kind of starts to collect a little bit of that information. That we get almost like a pre-exit survey. It's meant to be taken in no more than 10 or 15 minutes. We know these are small business owners for the most part, so the back half is really kind of grouping it into several categories about the overall business climate. It's a welcoming place. It ranges from strongly disagree to strongly agree. This way we can really kind of look at the temperature of the overall business climate from a lot of these folks. gets a little bit into permitting and regulations, adequate infrastructure and services, what is the workforce like, where are they pulling from, their growth and future outlook, if they see themselves staying in Canton or expanding in Canton, and again, that kind of quality of life and community. And then those last couple questions are really just if they have any interest in being more involved with us, if they want to be featured in our marketing campaign that we're re-kicking off, if they want to be a part of a focus group or roundtable, just to kind of get to know us better, see how we can really help them. So it's if they just want to do the survey, they can just do the survey, but we'll know at least who are the others who want to kind of be more involved with us. Again, open to any comments and edits, and happy to take any feedback here or via email or elsewhere.
Should we ask the type of business that it is, such as like a restaurant versus a manufacturing?
Just
so that it gives us the opportunity to potentially segregate the data based on the responses, and then also get a feel for the industry mix that we have in town?
Absolutely.
Well, one question I have about this, and I've expressed this to Tom, that we talk about these larger businesses. We don't have all that many of them. My question is, shouldn't we already be talking to these folks and know quite a bit about them? And if we don't, shouldn't we be? You know, shouldn't we already, you know, have contacts, be talking with these folks, know the answers to a lot of these questions, and get a good sense of, you know, of all this kind of stuff. You know, there's a certain point at which, you know, we're a small town, you know, we should know the major players here, for sure, and a whole bunch of not so major, maybe, you know, in terms of size, but we should already have the contacts. We should already have a round table for them, you know, or already establish a couple of round tables so that, you know, so that people can, you know, they already have a place to come, rather than wait to get this kind of feedback. I mean, I understand the macro idea of understanding, okay, how many businesses of this kind and all we have, but I think we already know some stuff, and we should already be taking advantage of the stuff that we know, and then of course find out all the rest. You know, business registrations.
It's a good point, it's more than just. I think the scope of this potentially could be more than just the businesses that we see driving up and down Route 44.
Oh yeah.
And those businesses, you know, no one really knows much about. It could be the ones that are run out of a house, for example.
Yeah.
So I think there's valuable information in getting a broad survey out. But then, yeah, should we be talking to certain businesses so many times a year? I think so. But it goes back to your earlier point about, hey, we're volunteers. We don't have a lot of time, right? There's only so much we can do. So I think starting here, I think is a great start. Should we be doing all the things you said? Yes, but we haven't been. So we've got to start somewhere. Should we know certain things about businesses? Yeah. But I don't know how you pick and choose which questions to ask and which ones that don't, not to. Because I know, for example, like if you put in rooftop in here, well, of course they're a restaurant and we already know that. But you can't cherry pick, you know, a business or a survey going to a business.
Well, we already know the largest businesses in town. We got ShopRite, we got Favar, we've got Mitchell's, we've got Good Root, you know, and I can't remember what the other ones are. We already know who they are, and some of us have relationships already with these folks. So I mean, you know, I'd be happy to talk to several of them, and just start conversations so we can pick up some of this information, and you know, be happy to do it. But the other thing is for the hidden businesses, you know, for the, you know, the ones that are, you know, that don't have a shingle out, that don't deal with the general public, and yet do millions of dollars worth of business every year.
we, you know, I know Lisa's very well-meaning in terms of, you know, getting the registration, business registration information. I don't know if we have access to that. I don't know, you know, how we're going to contact them if we don't. I mean, I know one business that does, it's a bang-up PR service, not on any radar whatsoever. You can drive by this guy's house 100 times, you never know it. Never know what he's doing. But he's doing it.
What was the plan to get this out? I'm just curious. To Ron.
What was it?
Like how to get it out to the business owners?
Well, that's the tricky part. I know you had a business directory, and
yeah.
You did have some contact information, so you'd be relying on the data that's in there.
Emails from when they registered with the state, so that would be like a first pass. There's a secondary column that has something about survey contact information if they want to be involved, but I'd imagine this could be done with Microsoft Forms. If the town has a Microsoft account, we can put it together pretty easily.
When I did the community survey, I'd use Google Docs,
okay.
And that was pretty seamless. You can actually, you can come up with those QR codes.
That's awesome.
So okay. You can actually drop it off at a business.
That's great.
If we don't have a contact information.
Awesome. Yeah, so digital, this way we can clean it. We'll have the raw Excel data. And this is just kind of getting a snapshot. And I think for me, you know, just kind of speaking freely, it was more of a reaction from when I first came to the meeting, and it seemed like business outreach maybe had been stagnant for a while, so this is just kind of an effort to get that full picture. You know, we understand that there are big businesses, but it didn't seem like we had been engaged, so this kind of just says, hey, we're here, we're this board, we'd kind of like to get to know you, or is the feeling mutual? Is there, you know, reciprocation and just getting feelers out?
You know, I'm wondering, would it be useful to have, like, areas... Like, for example, business climate. It says Canton is a welcoming place to operate a business. And then you can choose, you know, disagree, strongly disagree. And I'm just wondering if you can discern the qualitative difference between the two and whether, you know, if you strongly disagree, whether there should be a box where you can say, well, because this stinks, you know.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So you know exactly what they're thinking. And
yeah, that was what was great about your survey. There was a large writing component to it.
It's great information to gather. I would say two things. One is you don't want to make it like overly complex and time consuming for them.
Yeah.
And then two, when you ask for write-in information, when it comes back to us and you have 800 or so, it's quite cumbersome to go through them all. Now, mind you, there's fantastic information in there, but it's just considerations. Yeah, it's a matter of.
Yeah,
fair. Yeah. And I do like, we could put, maybe there's one box at the before you go where it says, if you strongly agreed or strongly disagreed with anything, list the why or rationale behind it. It's one box that's captured and it's one answer that we can kind of go through. I can definitely.
So my vision for this, and by all means, if everyone feels differently about it, then let's talk. But this was an idea to get a lay of the land in terms of as many businesses as we can. What are the challenges they're facing? So on and so forth. How can we help? Whatever. And then to have more targeted outreach, in-person conversations with a very small subset of that. Okay. And maybe it's because they're the biggest businesses in town, or maybe it's because it's based on the data they filled out in the survey that raises, you know, a question or a red flag to us. Like, hey, maybe we need to reach out to these folks because they might be looking to leave town.
Okay.
And that's kind of the idea behind the program.
If I may, I like this very much. I mean, I've been here and I've seen the idea of a, you know, feet on the ground business visitation program start and stop so many times here. It's not even worth mentioning. But this is a great way to at least open that door up again. And given that everybody's time constraints, ours and the business owners, this can be a simple way to do it. I do think there'd be some value to actually get, if we could at least add some categories of like what type of business you are, not
sure.
Fill in, but pre-drafted categories that maybe four or five, and then other, and then we might just have to not know with the details the other. I also think, because we have so many different initiatives we try from time to time, like our business facade program, or maybe a landscaping program, or a wayfinding signage program, like it could be nice to ask those questions like, Would you be interest, would your, if the town were to offer the following, would you be interested in it? And we could list those initiatives and maybe get feedback on
facade improvement program.
Those, exactly.
That's great.
And if we, if every 80% say, yeah, they'd like a facade improvement program or landscaping program, then we know we have that data. And I think that's something that we were asked, do we have data like that, mm-hmm. I think, recently. The other thing I just wanted to kind of throw out is we don't, it's very hard to get business names, and nobody has to come to the land use office and tell us your name, and applicants for site plans aren't always the business or et cetera.
Right.
It's just not, it doesn't work like that. But we do have businesses in town that are LLCs or whatever, construct, that are in the business of leasing or providing space to others, right? And are those captured by this? Because that might not be the type of, they're not necessarily providing a, you know, they're not making bagels or they're not manufacturing or they're not providing professional services, but they're providing space as a business. And that's still kind of an important business. But at the same time, when you look at the business listing that was put together, which is kind of impressive, my quick glance at that is the majority, just quickly scrolling through it, appear to be in residential areas. Right, and that almost feels like we almost might need to have, maybe not now, but another focus at another time to say, okay, that's an entirely different clientele than, say, storefront businesses, and what can we do to help them or not, or what do they need versus that might be different than the brick and mortar businesses outside of residential areas. And I think we got to get a much better understanding of that, because I think, as Bob's alluding to, there's probably some real major nuggets in those areas that have no need to come to us for a sign permit or no need to, you know, come to the town hall for anything, but they're maybe doing millions of dollars.
I can tell you, from other communities, there are, you know, for decades now, there have been hundreds of these businesses, and they generate very substantial amounts of money, in terms of income and stuff. On the registrations, I'm just wondering, is a USIC code, a business code, mm-hmm. Included on that? Because they do have to file that when they do a, if they're going to do a business tax form, you have to have a code, a federal code if you're going to do a partnership form, or if you're going to do, you're going to do K-1s and all that stuff. And I think even with a Schedule C, is that correct, Barbara? You need to have a business classification code, federal business classification code.
Yeah, I remember that.
that may have actually been a downloadable data nugget from like CT Data when I first looked at this.
Because that
so
would
it
tell
might
us,
already be there.
That would tell us. Anyway. It tell us in a lot of detail right away what it is, and
that
those. Those codes get down to some real good detail.
And that way you don't have to ask the question to your earlier point, like, well, exactly. You're asking me if I'm what I am, you should know that.
Right, right.
Well, I'm an insurance. Well, they ask what kind of business I have. Is that what you're talking about?
No, this gets
it's
into
an SIC code, Bob.
What?
An SIC code.
SIC code. So it's, yeah, thank you. You know, so it says, we do this. I mean, I'm a bakery, I do bread, So it almost gets down to that level, or I'm in insurance and I'm selling policies, or I'm an analyst, or I'm doing this. It does get into that stuff. If you look on the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you can see, just the general employment in, you can go nationwide, statewide, countywide, even down to city, it's still macro data, but you can tell how many people are in manufacturing and this part of manufacturing. You get into considerable detail.
Do we also want to ask about challenges businesses are facing or obstacles as an open-ended question? Do we have any? Was there anything in there about the challenges they're facing?
There was. I kind of wrapped it in with a couple of edits before I came here tonight into the sort of strongly agree, strongly disagree, but we can add.
I'm just wondering if an open-ended might lead to some nuggets that are that are interesting. And then on the second page where it's, the agree versus disagree, mm-hmm. there's a neutral, but I think we should also add in a not applicable.
Yep.
So I think neutral and not applicable are different sentiments.
No, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the case of, you know, where you've got, like, you know, a professional who's like a professional attorney, trial attorney,
yeah,
doesn't need more employees.
Right.
You know,
right.
If he or she needs employees, they'll find them. Yeah. You know, it's not going to be within, necessarily going to be within the general workforce here. You know?
And then do we want to ask where their customers generally come from? Whether it's local as in town, or whether they're coming from out of town?
Online.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That might be important for marketing purposes.
I mean, some of them, they're national, international.
Right.
They're here because they're raising a family here. You know, or it's in close proximity to major metropolitan areas. You know.
And then the question where, you know, do you have plans to expand in the next 12 months? Should we add an unsure answer choice?
Yeah.
Just for those that might not be a yes, a definitive yes or no?
Absolutely.
And there's another thought. What are some of the qualities about this community that attracted you to it? I mean, and it could be qualities that don't even exist in Canton. For example, you know, for some of these folks, proximity to an airport is really important. Really, really important. You know, the fact that you can get to Bradley in half an hour without going on major highways, that's a big deal. So there are, you know, proximity to nature, proximity to major metropolitan areas, expertise, knowledge capital, yeah, yeah.
We can do like a list and kind of click all that apply type deal. I could come up with some ideas.
Yes.
I can, I'll incorporate these comments. And again, if any folks have any others, by the next meeting with an updated draft.
Yeah.
This is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. You may want to even throw in something about communications. Because a lot of these businesses are completely dependent on internet, on quality of internet communications.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff, I mean, if the internet were to go down,
right,
in town of Canton, you'd hear the screaming, you know, from your house all the way up into, way up into North Canton, you know, just be all over the place. Then you'd know how many people are working out of the house.
Do we want to have like a catch-all question that might kind of flush out maybe something we didn't ask? So in other words, kind of ask something about if there's anything that they want us or the town to know about their business or business climate as a write-in? Because I think sometimes that's where you get the most
careful.
Action.
Be careful, you're going to that write-in.
Yeah, the write-in.
Be careful.
I know.
Tell us all the stuff that you don't want us to know about your business.
That's where you get the most insightful, candid.
Now wait a minute.
Responses.
That red light hanging over my orange door.
I know,
but you have to weigh like how many of those open-ended questions we have.
I was going to say, I'll sign up for up to three, reviewing three open-ended questions. No, but that's a good question. If there's anything we haven't asked, what would you like us to know?
And then the last thing I might throw in there, and it's not a question. We've had instances over the last year or two where a business was recognized for something. They won an award, their product was best in class, whatever it might be. And there was an issue where I think the town blast promoted it for one business but didn't do it for another, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think we need to, and I'm wondering if the survey is a good way to disseminate this information. If you ever get recognized for something and you want the town to promote it, here's how you would do it.
I like that.
I don't know where that would go in the survey. My thought would be somewhere up front so they see it right away. But
a nice hook.
Yeah.
Could be. Or it could be something where they could care less if the town of Canton promotes it. They'd rather have the New York Times do it, you know, or...
But they pick that up from small papers sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
sometimes
why we have our social media position we're creating.
Yeah.
Situations.
Yeah.
I I only had one quick question before we went on to the next thing. Does the EDA have an email address? Do we have the...
We did for years. Okay. I don't know if it's active anymore, but okay. We can certainly recreate it if you want to make it one. But then the only problem is just having it routinely checked.
Right. But
we did have one for a very long time.
I thought we activated it for the community survey.
I think you're right.
Or maybe it goes into a subset of the town clerk, and then it goes to the town clerk's office. But there's like a check mark or something on it that shunts, that throws it into an EDA bucket.
If my memory serves me right, I think there at least there used to be one.
There was
but
one.
But I thought it had been activated for a survey, because I think in the survey we said if there are any questions.
Yeah.
Well, send an email here.
Well, the clerk will have to check it. Yeah. I mean, the clerk will check it.
We can get one recreated if you want me to look into that.
Are you saying for like if there's any questions, how do they contact us, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just how do you Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's not active right now.
They playing yet?
No. That might be.
Is it 8:45?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we? Before that. Any developer updates? Reach out or reach.
I did reach out to the new owners of Canton Village and no updates.
Okay. Canton economic backdrop. No updates other than reaching out to try to get geofencing data. Collinsville streetscape.
Okay, so I went looking for grants and things like that with our big budget that we have here.
Yeah.
Basically looking at www, a couple of sites, instrumenti.com for grants, for artistic production grants, and then the portal for ct.gov. Basically, the Instrumenti one has access to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of grants. It's the good deal is $249 a year, so it has a cost. And then now you have access to hundreds and hundreds of grants that might apply or not. And then, so that is money to get money. And then with the streetscape, trying to be clever and do the Boy Scout thing for like the Wayfinder and not spend a lot of money, if we can talk to the Tilney sisters and if they can donate any equipment, and we could have a contest for, we have lots of artists in town, and that is paint something that's a piece of equipment and stick that on the pads for the time being. And so that has very little cost other than moving whatever piece of rusty metal that it is. And then having artists come in and paint it, kind of like they paint fire hydrants in some towns. And so that's a very inexpensive way to get something there that's uniquely Collinsville.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's possible to even have like a loaner program from the Historical Museum, if you had a protective display case where you just they take an artifact from the museum and have a rotating display.
So this is outside, though, exposed to the elements.
No, I know. I wonder if there could be like some sort of encasement that it would go into.
I'm sure that has a cost. Because if it's one of their items, they might want to have it in a display case. And then it's got to be a weather tight display case. So anyway, just trying to think of, inexpensive things that would work and generate some chat in the town, particularly if you get the artistic community chit-chatting with each other, then it will spread very quickly throughout Canton.
Have you been in touch with Kathy Taylor?
I have talked to Kathy Taylor, and we talked about grants last fall. And she was vaguely helpful. It wasn't, because she knows much more about grants than I do, and it was kind of like general information that really didn't help me much at all. So I've continued to dig a little bit. But it looks like you have to spend some money to get money, so.
Okay. Moving on, the WPCA STAG application.
Okay. Real quick about the streetscape, I just wanted to mention the, if you saw in Collinsville, we've marked off the area that we created in front of the Crown and Hammer, where we expanded the rail trail to a kind of promenade there, put the railroad tracks down, and decorative bluestone bands that tie back to the history of the area. But I guess the contractor, Crown and Hammer uses, destroyed the bluestone bands and found them pretty far away from where they're supposed to be, and Public Works for Safety had to close the whole section off. So we're going to have a meeting, hopefully, either later this week or next week with the business and maybe the contractor about how to restore that. But in the meantime, for public safety, we had to mark it off and kind of try to fill in all the trip hazards that was created. But it's very disappointing to see that, because it was done with real specific intent to make that whole area pop, and now it kind of looks trashy, I guess, for lack of a better word at this moment.
But, where is this?
Can I add something to that?
Right, and
that is that the Crown and Hammer is really deteriorating. The fences are falling down. They don't clear the leaves away. The vegetation is all overgrown and filled with vines and what have you. I mean, it's becoming an eyesore.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're not, well, we can talk about that, but ironically, I'm getting complaints along those lines about other areas where, like, landscaping's not even up yet. So maybe that's a lot more extreme than the more general complaints. But hopefully that'll improve itself. But we'll be out there, and I can mention that while we're out there talking about the condition of the trail.
Mm.
So the WPCA STAG application, that was a grant application. WPCA is facilitating to try to get money to do their inflow and infiltration work and additional things to help increase plant capacity, and it was requested between meetings that we get a letter of support from Economic Development Agency, Board of Finance, Board of Selectmen, Planning and Zoning, and Wetlands. And so what we kind of said was, it was the same kind of generic stock letter support, but that the deadline to submit those was more or less last Thursday, and we quickly got draft letters out to all the chairs, and the chairs agreed to write them on the idea that we would present the idea here at each subsequent meeting. If there's any concerns, we could always withdraw the letter. But generally speaking, what they were looking for funds to do is something that we've been hoping they would be pursuing as an agency, so I'm expecting there would be any concerns with that.
I don't think the letter that I drafted was in the Dropbox, but I
don't think it
add
went
it
in.
And then I will disseminate it. Just to make sure that everyone has a chance to.
I think that was missed because it was such a rush to get all those together.
Yeah, it's out not here.
So we can add that in there.
Good on the application?
Yep.
Okay. Dave, any updates on marketing? I know that we're in it. What you drafted last month was a great vision.
Oh, sure.
So I think it's like, all right, how do we execute on it?
Yeah, I was going to say, with Tommy's great strategic plan, you know, it's probably a good idea if we work together on putting kind of a marketing plan together that dovetails off that. Put some meat to the bones, if you will. So I can start doing that and share it. Whoever else is interested.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also sent emails right before the meeting. I drafted a job description for a part-time student social media assistant. And if you have time, you know, take a look and tell me whether you think it's feasible or not, even to do this. Because I was thinking, you know, if we could get college students, you know, 5 hours a week, and maybe two or three who would then, upon our direction, go out, do some, you know, get some content, create some content for us, and that could start feeding, you know, our social media. I think right now, you know, we're good. I mean, we have kind of a plan into June, right? But, you know, if we can start kind of ramping up or get people to start helping with it, that'd be great. So I don't know. I don't know what the rules are surrounding that either. Is it kosher for me to go to a community college or a surrounding college and say, "Hey, we're looking for social media interns. What do you think?" Or does anybody have any opinion about that? Or I can reach out.
You know? I don't know what the protocol is on any of that stuff.
How is that different than Eagle Scouts?
Huh?
Yeah. I said, how is that different than getting Eagle Scouts for wayfinding signs?
Either way, I mean, like an Eagle Scout project at some point still, like the, if it's going through the town either, sometimes it's myself, a lot of times it's the CAO, Chief Administrative Officer, still has to sign off on the benefit and willing to receive the work or services, right? Mm-hmm. In this case, when it's a job description, I imagine that might get a little bit more serious where we have to actually run it through administration, and I don't know what else kicks in at that point. It's a little bit beyond my knowledge as well what happens if that's a quasi, you know.
It's quasi-employment.
Right? And then what that triggers.
Yeah, and even with a Boy Scout, you know, the Eagle Scout projects, they have to run through the CEO's office. I mean, I signed dozens of those.
So it would be the next step.
And I also think, you know, I think what Dave's saying is very wise in terms of once we understand our audience, would be very helpful. But also, the folks who were doing the social media stuff, were a little bit younger representatives of the target audience, basically women around 30, you know, 30-ish and a little younger. And they wrote to the audience that we were trying to attract. So, you know, I think we have to be cognizant of who are we talking to and how. You know, and then we have to be really careful about why. You know, what are we trying to do? And more to come as we flesh it out.
I know the superintendent's office. I had spoken to them. It was probably a couple of years ago now. There was definitely an interest on their end to partner with us on this.
Schools, the Canton schools?
The high school, yeah.
Oh, okay.
In some way, shape, or form, whether it's a club or it's an actual class, that part hadn't been ironed out yet. Okay. But that might be. It was John Bishop that I talked to. So he, if you just, you know, kind of mention the EDA and make a Canton, it'll jog his memory. Or I could even reach out to him if you want and set up something. But that might be another avenue to pursue.
Yeah, maybe you could email him.
I'll do that. Yep.
That'd be great.
Yep.
The more detail you can give him, the better. Because high level, we'll say, yep. But until you get down into specific, X number to do X number of posts, X number of people to do X number of posts, and this frequency and all that kind of stuff, none of it is real until you get down into that level of specificity. Then it'll be a different conversation.
I'll send him an email and CC you and do the introduction.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. The walking tours in Collinsville.
Just wanted everybody to check it out and be aware and see maybe thoughts what else we can do in the future. But if there wasn't anything really to.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're there.
Yeah.
I personally think it would be neat to have actual markers at the sites that they talk about, but
it would be.
Maybe an Eagle Scout could do something.
Right. That might be a future. Main Street used to have grants for those sorts of things.
Well,
Main Street program
still does. It still does. By the way, the Arts Council, the Canton Arts Council, has officially disbanded, but they transferred their assets to another group in town, and their assets do include. I believe include money as well. So some of what we're talking about could that might be a source of funding or talent for some of what we're talking about.
Bob, what was that?
Canton Arts Council disbanded, but I can't remember the group that took it over. But I believe it's a school associated group.
The affordable housing draft recommendation, we tabled it to this meeting so that members had a chance to really go through it and digest it. And just refresh our memory, what is the ask?
The main ask for the EDA was that in the form-based code, which targets our sewer shed, the limited area of town where we can actually do development, They, Goven and York, which you know, is the professional consultant working for the town, is recommending removing the current regulation that mandates first floor occupancies to be residential only. So we allow apartments, we allow multifamily, we allow commercial and retail and et cetera, all to happen in the same district at the same time, could be on the same lot, can be different lots, but on certain parts of the like Kent Village area and some others, it mandates you have to have, you can build, you know, apartment building, but the first floor has to be commercial in the frontage, which, you know, made sense defensively at the time from the EDA's perspective. I think the recommendation was put in there by EDA originally, but the professional consultant saying that that's really a barrier. That's actually holding back development potential from being realized. So I told Planning and Zoning I would check with EDA and ask if you had any objection to actually removing that recommendation.
I don't know.
The number of studies that we've cited here over the last couple of years has reinforced the idea that have increasing residential density in these areas actually increases economic activity that actually supports all the business and the business areas. And our former Chamber of Commerce supported adding residences to the business district with that in mind. So. But we still asked for that change originally. Planning and Zoning put it in, and now I guess it's time to take it out, but they wanted your feedback on doing that.
And that's Goven and York's opinion that it should be removed?
Yeah.
Yeah, some other,
it's a recommendation.
Yeah, some other recommendations in terms of lot size and the percentage of affordable and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right now, like they're also saying our incentive housing, which mandates a certain makeup of affordable housing, is actually a deterrent to development, and they're recommending a softer, less intense incentive that's more palatable in the market for developers.
Would it make sense to have that requirement just in targeted locations, though? So, for example, if you look at like the shops, that to me was, in hindsight, probably a big mistake, is not doing, you know, apartments above. And then you look at the Canton Village. They were actually proposing exactly that, right?
Well, they haven't proposed it yet. They've talked about it, but they haven't proposed it.
Well, we'll get to that under developer updates.
So I don't know. I certainly respect the professional opinion, and I'm not going to argue against it. They're closer to the data than me. I kind of like the idea in certain locations having that, but.
I mean, you could provide that as a recommendation back. Like, you're generally okay, but we feel that as an EDA, there are certain locations that it does make sense to continue. That should be a consideration, at least for frontage buildings. But I don't know.
Is that
you have to really kind of carve them out?
Is that a rule in the Canton shops, the village shops?
I think it's a rule for properties that front Route 44. The ones that would front Route 44 would have to be.
Because I think where I'm going is if they remove it, is that going to change what's in those documents?
I don't think so in that location. No.
That would be I now I'm forming my opinion. That would be the only hesitancy that I would have.
Yeah. We have one on Dowd.
I think we removed that.
Removed it. Yeah, could it be? It was approved as an either or.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like I feel like I get it too. Like I can like my vision of it is like, well, that wouldn't make sense if it was all residential down to the ground floor in every single area. But then at the same time, we're trying to create a village in certain areas, increase that density, and which means you have to have people, and then. You know, people tell me, why can't we have sidewalks and people walking back and forth between? Well, you have to bring the people, you know, and fortunately, you know, it seems like they come from residences first and businesses second in a lot of instances, but, you know, I don't know. People argue every point of that, every side of that, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they need a letter from us?
No, I mean, if there's a, like, consensus or a general statement, if there's a general feeling and, you know, like maybe you get authorized to send, you know, finalize a statement, you know, between meetings for planning and zoning, we could do it that way. But However you want to do it, but I don't think you need a motion or anything. We just need probably to kind of relay a consensus.
We'll probably make a motion.
Well, I'd be curious to go around the room, like what are individual opinions on this?
I think there are areas where the mixed use with frontage, ground floor is a great idea. Just look at Main Street in Collinsville, you know, with the apartments above. I mean, it has a nice panache. If you look at Blueback Square, that's what they did a lot of there. And West Hartford Center was originally built that way, with some apartments above and also some businesses, you know, above, professional businesses over retail type businesses. So for high density, you know, I think that's great. And then there are certainly areas that should just be retail, and there are certainly areas that should probably just be residential. So.
Anyone else have a strong opinion or an opinion?
I agree with what Jen said.
What's that?
I agree with what Jen said.
What locations do you think are opportune for this?
Well, I think there are a number of them. I don't know. First of all, I'm in the shops every day, and every day the shops seem to shrink a little more. There's one more vacancy each week in the shops. Francesca's just went out. Other ones have gone out. And if you count the storefronts and the percentage, I don't know, I'm not Ackerman, and she must know it more than I do, but it's not the same as it was. It really isn't.
15%.
I'm sorry?
15%.
What 15%?
Vacancy.
In what world?
In the last stats that I saw in Hartford Business Journal. Could be wrong.
What you want to do is walk around the shops and look at the empty storefronts and then come back and say what percentage it is.
Yeah.
It ain't 15.
Yeah.
And all I'm telling you is Jen is totally right. When you take a look at Blueback Square, or you take a look at some of the other projects in West Hartford, or even in some of the other towns, that should have been a mixed-use development. I don't know why it wasn't. I can't imagine. And I still wonder if it could be.
Yes, I wonder that too.
I wonder if it could be. It's a great big development. And obviously there's a huge amount of backing that wants it to be successful. This WS Development is a gigantic company that builds all over the country, if not the world, that I'm sure they would like it to be successful. I can't imagine why they don't have residential or even more commercial on a second level. And when we think about other, we always talk about how limited our development space is. We talk about this is rock and this is this. Well, we've got development space, except that we don't use it wisely. If you take a look at the Village, man, what a mess that is. And if you got a new owner, why couldn't somebody come in and make that a multi-level development project? So, you know, I think we really missed the boat on a lot of this and continue to.
So the question is, should it be required?
Force it to happen.
Right.
Despite whatever the market.
I would say we should not force it. It should be an option.
All right,
it's allowable, but not a requirement.
So let's make a motion. Should it, all in favor of it being an option?
Aye.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
There
option.
Yep.
Option. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for that. And we can always revisit that. Nothing's going to happen really quickly if you go home and say, oh my God, I felt we made the wrong mistake or whatever. Just we can pick it up again if anybody has big concerns about it.
12 and 13, I think, can be tied together as the wayfinding signage program. If you recall, it wasn't for the program itself, it was funding for design so that it would be grant ready or shovel ready to get a grant. We were denied, so we did not get our funding for that. But we do have a detailed write-up of the program, so that's good, so that maybe next year if we could potentially run up the flagpole again. And the Route 44 utility extension study, was there anything that we need to talk about this meeting?
Well, just we sent that out last month to make sure everybody was aware who wasn't on the agency previously, and there were some concerns that maybe the change in zoning that occurred that allows a higher density of development for wasn't maybe taken into consideration fully. I don't know if anybody else looked at it. I went back and revisited it, and it seemed like it was in there, but it might not have been completely understood at the time. But I still think when I looked at the numbers, the amount of cost it is to extend utilities to fill our gaps is such an insurmountable cost that regardless of how you calculate the potential infill that would occur, it still doesn't pay for itself by a large margin. So I think the study remains valid in that regard. But open to any other opinions if people wanted to have a different takeaway from revisiting that.
So that's even if you cut them in as a multi-level,
yeah,
it's still prohibitive.
Yeah, okay. That was my takeaway from revisiting it with a new lens, basically.
Minutes from last meeting, I will make a motion to approve our March 2nd EDA minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, approved. Development updates.
Okay, so I think we talked last month about Shake Shack going into the shops. We're also working with Wonder Kitchen, which is an interesting business model that they make the food for numerous other franchises and sell it out or send it out from that location of the shops. And then Cava apparently is also going into the shops.
Cava. The restaurant?
Yeah.
The one that's in Southington? Where they themed
it's decorated? It's kind of like a Chipotle, but no, not the really fancy one, but the Greek Mediterranean style food.
Fast casual.
Right? Yeah, fast Mediterranean, basically. Yeah. Same thing like Chipotle type of walk-in environment, but that's another eatery. And then with Canton Village, I got this when I got in today. I was submitted to another office on Thursday. It was out.
I talked to the wrong guy.
This is going to be before the Planning and Zoning Commission next Wednesday. This will be in the Planning and Zoning Commission as an informal, and it's basically a concept plan by the new owners of the Canton Village to try to show a potential redevelopment scheme that they might be considered pursuing. They had reached out to us earlier about just the pad out front for some form of a fast food coffee shop redevelopment of the old McDonald's. And we said we really like to see a full, because whatever they wanted to do here didn't match what's in the regulations. Like, I was originally approached saying, hey, we're having problems making your form-based code work for our project. And my response was, the code's working just fine. It's, you know, your project's not really allowed by the code, so you have to figure something else out. And they're really in the form of trying to figure out if they can come in front of the commission and maybe do a design district, which is where you make new rules for a significant piece of property or a development. And so this is their first introduction to planning and zoning. That will be next Wednesday. And it basically shows the fast food coffee shop. I think the relocation of the bank and another retail space to the front here. It's about 1,700 square feet.
Is this empty?
No.
Right now?
Part of it is.
Part of it was Henry Bear's old office.
That's Bear's old office, yeah. And there's a dentist there. Or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, and then there's another building.
Over here.
Isn't it a house? Is that what that site is?
Well,
It looks like a house.
There might be two buildings there, and they're combining
two buildings.
Into one.
They both look like houses, but they're both really
I mean, that's
office
showing space. Knocking that down and replacing it with a new building, and knocking everything else down and replacing it with new buildings that's on this side of the property. But this shows a mixed-use building with office or retail on the first floor, and then about 36 apartments. Hmm. And then I can't read that one over there. Can I
story one commercial, story two, 20 apartment units, story three, 20 apartment units.
I think these two are three-story buildings.
Yeah, these are both three-story. Yeah.
And then I'm still evaluating this. I mean, it's very similar to what they showed us earlier when Bob and I met with them. And then this was just the rendering, which is, I think, the same thing they showed us a few months ago. Which none of this really matches our architectural standards or form-based design standards, but it's what they're presenting to planning and zoning, at least just to start the dialogue. This is, I think, from the Canton, from the Route 44 frontage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'll have a better handle on this as the week goes on. And again, we'll get a presentation on this next Wednesday. So I, you know, would encourage you to take a look at it. I think at some point, if this, you know, they're going to, I mean, it clearly shows an interest to redo the property and to maybe master plan and plan a new future for this property, which is not insignificant moment by any means. So just coming out publicly discussing it is a big deal.
When did they buy it? Just curious.
June. Last summer.
Neil, if we want to know more about it, is there a meeting that we can attend?
Next Wednesday, August. Planning and zoning.
It's in the land record.
Next Wednesday?
Yeah.
So they have authority over the common area, like the parking lot and whatnot? That's why I always wondered how it works in there. Like,
yeah, that's tricky.
It is tricky. I don't know if you want to flip back.
There is one where it shows, it's this one, where it shows, you know, looks like they've got a different configuration.
Every building is on its own parcel that cuts through parking spaces and lots and landscaping. And
if you look at these lines here, you know, this kind of a line, long, short, those indicate lots, you know, and I don't know if they're necessarily drawn exactly to scale.
I'm not sure they're drawn properly, to be honest, looking at this.
But it gives you some sense that when they actually purchased the property, they had to buy each one of these parcels individually. That's how split up it was.
But these are still all privately owned.
Yeah.
These three are part of an association that's roughly formed, from what I understand.
Okay, so Larson, Chen, and Vanelli are all together.
They're part of a common interest with the other properties shown here. Okay. So, like, there's like easements, there's rights to pass and repass, there's shared parking, there's stuff like that. And I don't know how this all works. And you know, if all property owners have to weigh in, and Bizzuto's to some extent must have some rights, even though he's not part of the. Bizzuto's, the former IG, is not part of this property at all. It's not part of the site plan. It's separate, as is the Napa building and the gas station and the old Happy Dolphin. Yeah. So it's complicated at best.
Yeah. And the package store and the and Bo's Burger Shack. Yep. Is that part of this too?
Well, they're showing Bo's here.
That's Bo's and the package store.
My understanding is Bo's is owned by between the family that owns the Napa.
Okay. Yeah, because the Packy is here.
These are the two houses that are right.
The packy is closer to those houses.
I think
that's
something
the packy, and then
that's
the burger joint.
Or not part of it.
So Bose is part of the
existing package
is part
store
of Napa.
To remain.
Yeah.
Right, Matt? Owned by the same people that own Napa.
Yeah, so Bose is here.
So this is a Wednesday meeting?
Yeah, next Wednesday. They're going to present. And basically, I think what they're doing is they're trying to present something to start a dialogue with the commission about, we'd like to modify your regulations to do something different, and they're going to have to work together to make that happen, and we'll have to see. But our code would require the buildings to be closer to the street, to not have parking spaces, to have a parking setback line, the parking space should be behind the buildings to create that, you know, streetscape village setting. Ideally, we'd want to have this more compact and together, more of a... The whole idea that we got from the public when we did the charrette that focused on Canton Village was about getting a really intense, compact, like, village-scale, walkable distances.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard because you're going to absolutely need cars and parking for anything modern day, but how do you rearrange that in a way that parking and cars isn't the dominant thing you see when you're trying to create a village in a you know, area where you have parts of a village but not all of it.
Yeah. What time is that meeting?
It's going to start at 7.
So the old Citgo is not part of this?
Citgo's over here, yeah.
That's another thing.
So this is just,
I
just got to look at this today. I wasn't sure this is exactly what they were bringing in when they told me they were bringing in a pre-application, and now I got to see that it's kind of similar to what we looked at. Yeah.
My initial thought is it's not very villagey looking. Yeah. It's more industrial / modern.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it becomes a brick facade and looks a little more colonial and what have you, then it's looking more like, you know, West Hartford Center. And actually, I have the photos. I should make I'll make a little PowerPoint and upload it for everybody. And that's what they did in Glastonbury. They have these
but they're all red brick, and they all have a little bit of nuance of old Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. So even where they've done modern things like this, it looks good and it blends in with the...
Let me caution everybody. Yeah. We are not the design police here.
Yeah, no.
You know, that's not
I'm just expressing my opinion.
Yeah, but I think the design is...
No George
Jetsons. The aesthetics of it is going to be really important factor.
Of course, yeah. And, obviously, we do have an opinion that planning and zoning may want to hear or not.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure they have reasons for it, and it's probably parking spaces is the reason, but it would be nice if this building followed the design standards here. So in other words, coffee shop, whatever it's going to be on the bottom, and then apartments
on top. By the code, it's supposed to be two stories with both stories occupied, and we have things like minimum fenestration requirements and things, which are just in this graph are completely ignored. You're supposed to have second floor windows, right? That meet certain spatial.
That conversation was had several times.
That was relayed already. And so this is supposed to be two stories, right? I don't know. It's a starting off point for a bigger discussion, but it's exciting that an entity is at least comfortable to present something publicly.
Neil, who submitted this?
CK Engineering.
On behalf of the owners of the...
Yeah.
Of the former bare piece of Canton Village.
We should also make sure that Bizzuto's is kept up to date as to what's going on, because that would be great if he tied in his grocery store idea into the rest of it.
Yeah, we've been trying to put those two together for a while. They did actually have a meeting, I found out.
Bizzuto's and who?
Bizzuto's and these guys.
Oh, these guys, yeah.
Yeah, but nothing really came out of it.
So the old auction house, barn, whatever it is, over here, right?
That's just part of development here. Updates. Like, that about is getting a lot of interest. I have been inundated the last 2 weeks of development groups doing their due diligence in trying to pursue a purchase and sale agreement about the old auction barn site for the residential project that's approved there. And I don't know what's going to happen, but all of a sudden, I'd say probably 3 to 5 different groups have been contacting me, trying to do due diligence research, which is.
And they still have to bring in the water from 44.
And that still seems to be a significant factor.
Is it possible, based on all this configuration here, to connect the auction property to this?
I think it's. Possible. That would all have to be worked out. Yeah. But
possible is one thing, likely is another. Because there is a property owner, I guess, just to the north.
In between
that, who is, from what I understand, a property controller.
There's a life tenant, basically. Yeah, life tenant. That tenant isn't interested in anything like we're talking about. So I think that's going to sit there till that situation changes.
Yeah.
So that's the...
Bird code?
Nothing on bird code. I've seen they've opened up other facilities in other towns, and we're at the point where we're going to probably call them about the illegal sign they have in Canton, because you have an off-site business sign that's been up for a while over there, right? And just get them back to that discussion and find out what's going on. But I know they're paying the lease. They're paying their way.
And we need more chicken.
I noticed that.
Lord knows we need more chicken.
I noticed that in one of the towns they just opened up, I think it was Brookfield, they opened up
in an
existing building. So I'm wondering if they're opting for existing build-out so they can just renovate as opposed to building from the ground up.
Yeah. Jeez, maybe that coffee
Any meaningful updates on PSCD? Or can we punt to next?
The only thing with PSCD is, if you're interested, as was mentioned during public comment, the last meeting was a presentation on the current PSCD, so if you're not familiar with it, that's a great 101 type presentation. And then next...
And where is that?
That's on the PSCD update committee reporting. And then next meeting, there'll be a presentation on our form-based code, which, again, if you're not that familiar with it, you can watch that and get more insights. And then they're talking about topics for future meeting, and I did suggest maybe we do the results of the EDA survey and economic landscape for the meeting after that, which...
A meeting of what? What is
the plan of conservation and development update committee. So they're updating the town. They're starting the process to update the town. Once a month. Yeah.
Adjourning at 8:15.